Hello, everyone, and welcome to this very special episode of Content Intel brought to you by Optimizely. I am your host, Laura Dolan, and today we have a packed house here on our podcast. I'd like to welcome Matt Simpson. He's the Managing Director of Candy Space. Simon Cully, he's the Omnichannel Retail Manager at Mazda. And our own Joey Moore, Optimizely Senior Director of Product. Welcome, gentlemen. Thank you all so much for being here today. How's everyone doing?
Great. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, really good. Thank you.
Very well.
Well, thank you all so much for being here today. So let's jump right in. Let's talk some cars. We have a lot to unpack. Matt, let's start with you. What are the trends you're seeing in the automotive sector around the digital experience?
Yeah, I mean, automotive is a fascinating sector to be in at the moment because it's going through huge and rapid change. So with electrification, new mobility as a service, subscription models, autonomous cars, the change relationship between manufacturers and dealers, flying cars, I don't know, the sheer volume of data that cars produce now and what you do with it. So the sector as a whole is really rapidly trying to define how digital technologies can both improve systems and processes, but more importantly, to be better at meeting the changing customer needs. So it really is at the top of the agenda in automotive boardrooms all around the world. And that sort of ability to demonstrate clear impact and effectiveness with digital products and technology is what's on everyone's lips and is of huge value at the moment to automotive businesses.
And how do you think that's affecting customer expectations around actually purchasing vehicles?
I mean, that's also fascinating. So consumers are increasingly sort of desiring the ability to complete many of the steps in buying a vehicle online. And there's all sorts of research around this. And actually the pandemic and the lockdowns have sort of accelerated these trends. So a sort of recent survey, 64% of car buyers want to handle more of their purchase online compared to the last time they purchased a vehicle. And in 2021, 25% of consumers stated they wanted to complete the whole purchase online. And the challenge is that that's really, really difficult because buying a car is a complex process. So for most customers, it's probably the most expensive thing they'll ever buy outside property. The journey towards buying a car has multiple steps. So from consideration to purchase and beyond, you know, what's the right car for me? What brand? What model? What features do I want? How do I finance it? How do I trade in my current vehicle? What insurance do I need? How can I test drive it? How's the car delivered? It's really challenging to be able to deliver all of that online in a sort of seamless and effective way. And actually making it even more difficult is the sort of friction on the supply side. So different parts of the journey are owned by different parties. So manufacturers, dealers, financiers, publishers. So actually delivering the sort of seamless, frictionless end-to-end experience that customers are demanding is really, really hard. So automotive businesses are sort of struggling to adapt at the moment to the pace at which they need to do that. There's been, we'll talk about it when you come on to Simon, but there's been some really great advances and Mazda's definitely sort of leading the way in this, in being able to do that. But yeah, I think all of the sector recognizes it's a real challenge.
Yeah, Simon, let's turn it over to you. How is Mazda meeting those customer demands?
It's been a challenge massively for us because as Matt sort of highlighted all the various complexities we're having to deal with or have had to deal with over the last sort of 18 months, 2 years, it's had to really allow us to adapt the way that we try and connect with our customers. Because if we take a journey back 2 years to when we first went into lockdown one and the world was a different place, we had to adopt what we would class as a digital-only strategy because we couldn't connect in a physical way with customers because non-essential retail, which automotive fell into, was closed. So our dealers had to forcibly adapt their businesses very quickly into a more omni-channel type experience in terms of providing click and collect, trying to work around government regulations as much as the complexities of trying to sell a car in a virtual world. And for us, that really challenged us of how we supported our dealers in that, because we're certainly, as we've moved away from pandemic and dealers have naturally had to adjust, and us trying to support it, our ability to surface some digital solutions to meet that haven't been quick enough in many respects, but we've managed to fulfill that space quite quickly in terms of how we provide our users and our customers with a blended omni-channel journey. I think what we found has been quite useful, that we've learned that we had to go from a digital only approach to more of an approach now which is digital first, but not digital only, now that the physical facilities are open. And for us, what we found, certainly with our own audience and insight that we've conducted with our customers and prospects, is customers adapted that they could only do things digitally. And whilst they haven't totally gone back to a digital only approach, it certainly landed a more digital priority in the way in which they want to use our dealerships in a slightly different way. Our insight shows that, which is quite positive, that customers are still very much wedded to a physical experience, but that physical experience is now coming at a completely different part in their buying journey than it did before. So a lot of the pre-validation is more digitally orientated, and then the handoff into a physical environment is just happening at a much later stage in the buying process, because with the work that we've managed to do with our own platforms and some of the technology that we've adopted and worked with CandySpace on, is allowing customers to connect quicker with our dealers with digital tools that allow them then to connect and conduct a physical environment for our audience, which they want to. So for us, it's been a big challenge to try and strike that right balance between what physical tools do we provide and what digital tools do we allow to have that full blended journey to allow users to dip in and dip out of the tools and the processes they want to at the most appropriate time.
Awesome. And that perfectly segues into my next question, and that is Mazda's relationship with Optimizely, and how Optimizely has helped to kind of accelerate some of those digital endeavors that you were talking about. Can you talk about some of the services that our DXP helps provide for you?
Certainly, I might need to perhaps challenge, get Matt's involvement here. We work very closely with Matt and his team, and his team's probably much closer to that to probably give a bit more of a rounded answer to that. So Matt, sorry to sort of thrust that more in your direction.
That's all right. So, Mazda's been working with Optimizely, I think, since 2019. So migrated the Pan-European website to Optimizely. It's also used in other territories around the world, I think the US, Canada, New Zealand. And it essentially enables us to be highly attuned to the needs of customers. So to give you a good example, during the many lockdowns over 2020 and 2021, dealers were shut. And it meant one of the key points in the car buying journey, the test drive, just wasn't able to happen. It wasn't able to be fulfilled by the dealers. So through the sort of flexibility and adaptability of the Optimizely platform, we were able to very quickly sort of refocus the Mazda web platform, which really did become the central way in which Mazda were able to communicate their customers to reflect the change in needs. So what that meant was we were able to focus on pushing customers towards finance calculators and lining them up with the right dealers, so that when the dealerships were open again, they were able to fulfill those test drives. The other thing we've done is consolidated what was 81 separate dealer websites into a sort of single ecosystem that sits under the Mazda.co.uk domain. So that really is enabling us to deliver the sort of consistent, streamlined customer journeys that our customers now expect. So that means now dealers have their own individual pages that they can customize with their own offers, their after-sales services, their contact. But actually, it all resides in the umbrella of the Mazda ecosystem, so they're getting a really consistent experience. It also, through the Optimizely platform, gives us much, much more improved data and analytics that sit behind it. So from a Mazda perspective, it's now much, much more optimized to sort of drive leads, to optimize conversions, and to, again, create those journeys for customers across the whole digital platform.
I think that's absolutely key. It's around that speed to adaptability, you know, that I think that one of the numbers that Microsoft talked about was that 2 years of digital transformation accelerated into 2 months at the very beginning of the pandemic. And lots of organizations had to look at how they can adapt to those new customer expectations and do so very quickly. And car buying is an emotional process. So how do you replicate that or that expertise, that sort of emotional resonance to customers? And to be able to do that digitally means you need the right tools and the right capabilities, have the right understanding of data to be able to do that. So it's been super important for Mazda.
Yeah, I could actually say that I'm one of those people. My husband and I actually bought a car during the pandemic. We bought a Tesla in 2020. And everything was done online. We basically customized the vehicle and we were communicating on the website. And basically, we had to go pick up the car that was delivered to our local dealership. And it was just all done digitally. It was such a different experience. And it was actually really cool how streamlined it was, considering it was just the first time we've ever had to do it. And they made it very simple. How do you feel this type of technology improves relationship with customers? Have you observed anything along those lines of how you think customers receive this type of technology?
I mean, it's interesting you use the example of Tesla, and they're certainly leading the way in delivering a fully online experience. What we're seeing in the UK actually is that most customers still want the physical, tangible experience at some point in that journey of actually sitting in the car, of feeling what it's like. Mazda actually have got some pretty nifty AR and VR tools that help them launch the CX-50. But it, at the moment, it's difficult to replace that physical experience. So one of the really innovative things that Mazda are doing, I think, and Simon alluded to this earlier, is being able to bring test drives and that physical experience into that omni-channel journey. So Mazda's Your Way essentially involves remote consultation and product presentation and flexible test drives. So the car's delivered to you, whether that's at your home or your work or wherever you're located, at the duration that's suitable for you. And that's a really nice example of the tools working together to deliver and extend the sort of frictionless experience beyond the digital world, into the physical world, and back again. So that's where we're seeing customers really value the sort of advantage of that combination of digital and physical.
Yeah, to help reinforce that, I think we did a lot of insight work over the last 18 months to understand buying preferences and changing buying preferences. Joey made mention to Microsoft Insight regarding the swing towards digital has doubled massively in a very short period of time in terms of digital transformation. And we wanted to understand from our own buyers about their adoption of digital on the purchase they have made with, as an owner, and their future intentions. So we did a lot of survey work last year where we surveyed people that bought pre-pandemic, so they had the ability to have a more physical in-dealership experience, and those that bought in the pandemic where they had to rely very heavily on digitization of that sales process. It was really to understand when you're next considering what steps of the process will you take physically or digitally. And what we saw across all audience profiles and all age groups was what we saw a move to the center ground, a more blended experience where there's some people that just want end-to-end digital. There's some that will do more stages at the dealership, less stages at the dealership and more at home, but the dealership still had a place within all profiles that we researched. So it showed us that the digitization was important because people were going to be looking to do that in terms of their consideration next time. But we needed to make sure it was at the right steps at the right time to reinforce that physical process. I think for us, and Matt mentioned it, we launched a program in the pandemic, which was Mazda Your Way, which is a whole series of convenient solutions that sit under that umbrella that connect the physical and digital worlds to the consumers to make that whole process of buying a car much more convenient to them. And the intention we had behind that was based off some pilot work we did in the metropolitan area within London that really showed if you do offer convenience, customers will use it at various points of their process. So we launched it in the pandemic and we actually signed up our entire dealer network to it with some very some standards of entry point and expectations on delivery of both physical and digital. And what we've found since we've done that, it's allowed us to introduce the digital tools and the more seamless journey that we can add into that since launch that. And we're staying true to that principle because we didn't launch it as a sticking plaster approach to COVID. It was very much, let's get it to land and let's not use it as an excuse to connect. Let's use that as a basis of convenience as we move forward. So for us, that's an integral strategic program that we will use to support our umbrella omni-channel approach to customers, because we can continually add convenience to it as we bring wider functionality and tools to ease that process.
I was going to say, I mean, I think that is super important. It's, you know, that's really critical research, because obviously, you know, we talked around the new normal back in the day, and now it's kind of the new normal. You know, how have those expectations shifted, and what is it that customers, you know, just take for granted now that that's the way they'll be able to do things? It's going to be very different this year as it is next year as it was 2 years ago. So using data to actually understand what those preferences are, how you can provide a more seamless and convenient experience for consumers is absolutely critical at the moment.
And why what Simon talked about is so important is because in that drive to create a frictionless journey, the handoff between dealer and manufacturer and back again is one of the greatest points of friction. If you're a customer, like, you don't really care, you want to buy a car that's right for you, and actually that handoff is not particularly helpful. So bringing the dealers on side, again, using the Optimizely platform to bring a whole disparate set independent businesses under the umbrella of Mazda, so that from a customer perspective, again, that experience is as seamless as possible for them, is really critical to delivering on the promise of those frictionless journeys for customers.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes there, like you said, between the manufacturers and the dealerships that customers don't see, customers have no idea. And like the less they know, the better, because for them, all they care about is getting their car. And I know that dealerships play a very essential role in maintaining that personalized journey for customers. So I would imagine that's one of the challenges right now, kind of transitioning over to a digital space, that dealerships are still trying to maintain a lot of that personalization with customers. Are there any other challenges around that dealerships are trying to overcome?
I think from our perspective, it's key that we take dealers on this journey, that they don't see what we're doing as an approach for us to replace them with a direct way of selling to customers. But and one of the things that we've worked quite heavily on ever since we've integrated the new dealer website platforms into our national platform is that dealers don't feel that we're trying to own their journey. We're trying to make it a more seamless journey for customers, that make it easier for them to connect with dealers in a physical. And whether they want to go down a pure digital route with the dealer, or whether they want to go through a blended omni-channel route, trying to get our dealers to understand the benefits of what we're doing. So I think the key challenge for us is telling dealers why we're doing what we're doing, getting their buy-in so they see the benefits of that. And we've gradually got our dealers into that headspace where we've had some resistance in some of the decisions that we've reached. We've gone through some pain points, but as it's a start of a more longer term journey, I think we've gradually started to move the needle in a much more positive direction with them, where they're starting to see the benefits. We're seeing our dealers have more leads that are going to them. They're converting better. We've got much better journeys in platform. And as we're using the platform as a base to build and put more functionality in, the dealers are joining that journey with us, which I think is really quite positive. Dealers are very cultured individuals. Some of them don't like change. And the way in which people have been able to buy cars has been so traditional that we've had to not drag dealers in a positive direction. Some were going into that space already, but to try to get that unified, complete franchise approach to it, I think we're in a real positive direction there with our dealers, because they're seeing the benefits of what we're trying to do is to connect customers to them in the most seamless way we possibly can.
And Simon, did you find that the pandemic actually helped illuminate the possibility and opportunity of digital for those dealers that maybe behind previously have been sort of slightly reticent to join that, whereas suddenly it became a critical need, and therefore they could actually understand that the weight and possibility that the brand can actually bring to their businesses as well?
I think it totally did that, Joey. I think dealers, it was adapt or die effectively during pandemic. They either had to adopt a different way of doing things through click and collect or at home type convenient services to allow their businesses to function. In the first lockdown, I think the dealers only had the ability to do essential servicing work. So the ability to do physical sales was just something that they couldn't do. They couldn't even open their showroom doors. So it was a case of dealers had to sort of maintain some level of business normality. And I think it helped us drag them in a positive direction that we were going to be going in anyway. But the pandemic has aided the dealers understanding more as the why, because people have engaged with digital tools. They've engaged with the ways and the systems and the processes they've had to adapt to. And some of that, and that is definitely sticking. And I think that's really been a positive to sort of have that sort of paradigm shift from dealers very much welded to a more traditional showroom environment into a much wider way that they need to realize there's got to be a multi-channel approach to customers than ever before.
And for me, it was definitely that bit about adaptability and the speed at which you're able to do it, along with the Candy Space team and having the right platform in place, means that you can use data to identify where the gaps are in the journey today or what were suddenly presented to customers, and then be able to adapt and shift quite quickly and move on that. So kudos there.
And again, the new ecosystem, we think, is of real value for the dealers, because it means that when a customer comes to the new site, their preferred dealer is stored and logged, which means when they visit other parts of the Mazda.co.uk website, things start to become personalized for them. So, you know, they forms are auto-completed in the future. Like, we're going to have personalized calls to actions and copy that are reflective of the specific dealer that they're associated with. So it helps the experience for the customer. We think it also helps the individual dealers.
In addition to the new ecosystem, what does the future hold for Mazda?
I think we're looking forward very positively that we would like a slightly normal year, but what's normal? I think certainly when we're looking at supporting ecosystem is to constantly provide intuitive tools that engage users and provide it comes back to what I said, it comes back to easy and seamless ways that they can connect and transact. So the platform is our platforms are going to become a far more important role in that. And I think the way in which we maintain our platforms has a much more frequent hygiene factor than perhaps we'd ever realized, not because they're wrong, but it's constantly looking at data, looking at journeys, looking at insights and making very intuitive decisions to support that. Since I've came to my role, I probably moved more from a day-to-day type role of management, far more into an analytical approach to my role in terms of what have we seen, what's it doing, and what else can we do? And I think it's been so useful working with Matt and his team, using their tools, our tools and insights to really try and optimize as much as we possibly can. And with us going into next year, our challenge is twofold. We want to throw more people into the top of the funnel, but we've got to make sure they stick on that journey as they go through digital platforms and convert in a way that we can sell cars. Ultimately, what we want to do is we want to sell products. We want to be profitable. But when we start taking steps back within the funnel to do that, just got to make sure that every point within that funnel allows customers to stick and to connect to our dealers so that we can sell product.
Well, I commend you on how fast you've had to pivot during this time, Simon. I can't imagine it was easy. And it's just interesting to hear how different industries have had to get creative during the pandemic. And you are no exception. So I fully respect what Mazda had to do. Is there anything we didn't cover that any of you guys would like to speak on before we wrap up?
Yeah, I mean, I talked at the start about the massive and rapid change the automotive sector is going through. And it is, I think Simon mentioned, you know, a sector that until recently hasn't had to change the way it's operated for a long time. It's really exciting to see that. It doesn't just require a change in sort of operating models or the way experiences are delivered to customers. I think there's a big mindset shift going on. So there are long held norms in the automotive sector around a sort of culture of one and done sales. But I think it's moving very quickly to a new mindset of continuous customer interaction, like a focus on delivering value to a customer all the way from when they start thinking about buying a car to post-purchase and the full sort of life cycle value. And yeah, I know that's something Mazda's very focused on, that relentless focus on customer value. And I think we're going to see more and more of that across the sector, and consequently more and more value to customers right through their experience with manufacturers like Mazda.
I think for me, what the most exciting thing is how it's enabled the brand to get close to customers through the use of data and understanding customer journeys, understand those pain points, but understanding those separate consideration phases, the many that exist in the car buyer journey, and be able to get the brand closer to customers so they can better understand them, not only leads to that kind of initial sale, that one and done, but it's also about loyalty. It's about, you know, creating customers for life that have that ongoing engagement, have that ongoing value. So that, you know, when that next consideration period comes up, the first choice is going to be Mazda. It's going to be the brand that really helped them do that experience so seamlessly the first time around.
I think for us with that, it's we face every year, like every other automotive or any other organization, where when you plan your budgets, you obviously want to maximize your share of voice as best as you can. But there's certain elements you can't control in your budgets, is one, what your competitors are spending, and also media inflation, which is always something we have to battle with. So for us, it's so important from a value of customer, is getting them in, getting them sticking and making them buy again. So it sort of reinforces the need to have, once you get the customer and you've got data, you've got to manage it very carefully, nurture the customer, and also maintain that customer in the services and the customer experience. We've always had a mantra with our dealers about the customer experience is key. But the challenge I think they felt, certainly with pandemic, was they had to rely on their customers so much more than they could on prospects, because that's the value they needed to drive into their business. And I think we've certainly found, in terms of driving value to customers, I think our customers have had better experiences through lockdown because the dealers have had to value them far more than ever before. The focus as we build next year is we need to build our business off prospects. And that becomes a bigger challenge for us. But it's good. I think we've got our platforms aligned now that really allow us to do that. So for us, on a growth plan back to perhaps a normal year, we're going to need to lean far more heavily on our platform performance to drive as much as we can into dealers. And hopefully they can do the same job that they've been doing with their own customers. Let's convert them and delight them. But I think that whole value chain of retention is so much more important now than ever before.
Fantastic. Well, here's to adapting and relying on our new normal. See where these new digital spaces are going to take us. This is a very exciting time. And like Joey will, I'm sure, agree with me when I say it's all about experimentation and just seeing what we put out there and what the customers respond to. Well, Joey, Matt, Simon, I can't thank you gentlemen enough for your time today. This was a great discussion. So thank you all so much for being here and participating. And thank you all for tuning into this episode of Content Intel. I am Laura Dolan, and I will see you next time. Thank you for listening to this episode of Content Intel. If you'd like to check out more episodes or learn more about how we can take your business to the next level by using our content, commerce, or optimization tools, please visit our website at optimizely.com. Or you can contact us directly using the link at the bottom of this podcast blog to hear more about how our products will help you unlock your digital potential.